welcome to Foxborough's Gillette Stadium as we celebrate an unforgettable ending to one season and kick off a new campaign full of promise.
Julian Edelman suffered a complete ACL tear in his right knee last night. That means he is expected to miss the entire season.
You know, we feel badly for Julian. Hopefully he will have a complete recovery, but he will have to move on and we'll have to compete in this season without him.
Tom off the snap, drops back, he pumps, he throws it left, he's looking for Kutch in the end zone! It's caught! It's a touchdown! Patriots!
You never count this kid out. Kutch with the catch of his life as a Patriot.
Dont'a Hightower had an injury, but it turns out he's got a torn pec and he's going to be out for the season. So this is a blow to the Patriots defense that had shown signs of improvement.
Carr dropping back, stepping up, lobbing the long ball, and intercepted off the deflection by Daron Harmon!
Jimmy Garoppolo, seemingly the heir apparent to your position, has been traded to the 49ers for a second-round 2018 pick.
Jimmy was a great teammate, and he's a great friend, and he always will be. You know, I want nothing but the very best for him.
Roethlisberger under center, drops back, pumps, he throws to the middle. It's back incomplete, intercepted by Harmon! Deflection to Harmon! An interception in the end zone! The Patriots are going to win in Pittsburgh!
I don't know what to say anymore. I really don't.
Bill Belichick did not want to trade Jimmy Garoppolo, and it's really caused problems that have been behind the scenes for months between the three most powerful men in New England.
Hand off to Deion, runs it through the left side, into the end zone, touchdown, and the lead to the Patriots.
Championship drive.
Takes the snap, bounces the pocket, hits as he throws left, touchdown.
Yeah.
Rob Gronkowski,
his second
of the day.
In your face. Brady gets drilled and gets right up and says, keep bringing it.
Collision that Tom Brady was involved in, his right throwing hand making contact with one of his Patriots teammates. They feel like this could have a little bit of an effect on him in the game on Sunday.
Brady takes the snap, hands it away, runs his left into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots! Takes the snap, throws down the middle, catch by Amendola, dives to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots! Takes the snap, the play fakes to White, fires, and the ball is caught in the back of the end zone by Danny.
It's a catch!
Amendola!
Eat a bowl of pasta. Pasta.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. I don't know. Did they not score on that pass interference call?
No. They went three and out after that.
Okay.
Then Jacksonville went three and out, punted. Amendola returns the punt to the 30. The Patriots go down the field.
Yeah, and Jacksonville was flagged six times. I guess I read that they had been flagged nine times for pass interference or holding this season. So they were flagged six times. All right. So that cleans that up. All right. Rich, Scott Zolak is obviously very, very into the Patriots.
Yes. Yes, he is. He takes everything personally. We've heard it in his calls the entire season long. Hell, the entire time he has been in that booth with Bob Sosi. And last night, you know what, to be honest, I see stuff like this and it just makes me smile. Because they're outside of the team, for someone to be able to have this much joy about anybody winning and it not getting old. Scott Zolak is the epitome of that. You saw people in Philadelphia going nuts and driving dune buggies up the rocky stairs.
And I like that the police in Philadelphia just kind of said, all right.
Just do your thing, man.
Yeah, we'll shut off a couple streets. and just let you guys have at it.
It's kind of admirable. It's just, hey, you know what? Just let chaos reign.
Yeah.
No laws here.
No, just listen. Just keep it on these couple streets downtown.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll turn downtown into the Purge. Well, just you know what? Just wear your masks and just murder someone.
Just the only thing we care about is if you leave this designated area.
Right. Yeah. And do not deface the Rocky statue. That's it. We love our fake heroes here in Philadelphia. But there was one guy who, on the Patriots side of things, was feeling all of that. And I don't know what the story behind this is. We're going to have to get him on the phone. All I know is that in the middle of the night last night, both Fred and I were texted or emailed this video from one Scott Zolak, just setting the scene. I don't know where he is. He looks like he's in either a bar or in someone's basement.
Broke into a guitar center and started wailing?
No.
Other dudes with instruments.
Okay, yeah, it's either a bar or he's at some guy's house where they've set up, like he's got one of the cool guy bars, like a man cave, because there's red lights on the walls and stuff.
Yeah. Right.
So here's Scott Zolak sitting behind a drum kit. And then there's just some guy who's kind of with a drink in his hand, just teetering back and forth.
Oh, you guys didn't recognize? I didn't recognize him. I thought you guys might have.
Okay. No. Okay. For a minute, I thought it was Ray Bork. It kind of looks like Ray Bork, and I'm like, "What's Ray Bork?" And then I'm like, "No, it's not him."
Sosie's actually in the kick drum.
Yeah, well, you can't see that at the time. He's just getting tortured.
That's right.
So, okay, here is a video from late last night. I think this was sent around
11:30, I think.
Okay, so yeah, so it wasn't too late. It was like, yeah, close to midnight. So here's Scott Zolak.
Ready?
Ready. Go ahead.
1, 2, 3. Lars Ulrich, just for you.
All right. Lars Ulrich, I think he's trying to say.
Oh, he's trying to say. Okay, I didn't catch
Metallica.
That.
Lars Ulrich, this is for you.
3, Lars Ulrich, just for you. Cowbell!
Let's hear from Max Lane protecting the blind side.
That was good. Woo! That was pretty good.
Thank you so much for letting me destruct everything.
Let me destruct everything.
Yeah, that sounds like... I don't know if that's in someone's house.
My man's in a suit.
Yeah.
He's doing it all in a suit.
Yeah.
He's got skills.
Yeah, he was letting that party ride. He went right from the game to, you know, he'd seen the Jovi that day. He'd hung out with his boy, Drew Bledsoe. You know he was excited.
Boom goes the dynamite! Right.
This is for Lars Ulrich.
Gronkowski!
There's just another dude in a suit and a jacket, just kind of just teetering, holding a drink, going, yeah, yes.
Let's hear this. Keith, go ahead.
What's up, Keith?
Keith.
Oh, yes, yes, Darth Vader.
Yeah, all right. Well, Keith blew his big chance. Let's see. This is always the case. We can go to Scott. Scott, go ahead. I didn't press it. No, this is Jim. Scott, go ahead.
How you guys doing this morning?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, listen, two things. One, Romo and Nance should never be allowed to do another Patriots game. In that trophy presentation, Nance is pathetic. He hates the Patriots, and he should not be allowed on the stage of the Patriots.
What did he do that made you think that he doesn't like the Patriots?
I think he's anti-Patriot all the way. I think he's in the corner of Peyton Manning being the greatest quarterback of all time, and I think he's one of the group with Boomer, Phil Sims, and those guys that just cannot stand the Patriots.
Wait, Boomer Esiason can't stand the Patriots? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah.
He picks the Patriots literally every chance he can get. He's clearly on the Patriots side in almost everything.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, he still throws the barbs just like the rest of them do.
What exactly did Phil Sims say yesterday? Or Jim Nance, I'm sorry. What exactly did Jim Nance say yesterday on stage that made you think that?
It's just the look in his eyes and the tone of his voice.
See, man, you can't act this way, because that's why people start coming down on Patriots fans saying that you guys bitch about everything. He literally said nothing up there that would make you hate him.
And
now, Romo, I agree with you. He's getting annoying, and I liked him at the beginning of the season, but you can't. That's why a lot of Patriots fans unfairly are getting a bad name, because you're saying, well, it's the look in his eyes. I just know. I can tell
he was trying to figure out who to give his tie to,
which is the ultimate award. We all agree, Jim Nance is a jackass, and I hate him.
No, Tony Romo.
With like a fire of a thousand suns.
No,
but then he's
Romo,
a Patriot hater. I don't
know. No, Tony Romo is the worst analyst in football. He's the worst analyst in football. And it's a simple. They're doing two horrible things on CBS. And it's two: the cricket noise and Tony Romo going.
No, he does it. It was intolerable.
No, he does it all the time. Every replay, every single replay. I don't care if he gets every call wrong. I don't care. It's that.
The exuberance does wear thin over the entire season.
No, it's not even the exuberance. Yeah. Who makes that noise?
No one.
Like, who on the earth makes that noise?
Well, why is there not a producer saying, Tony, cut it out?
Tony, that's not. When you're analyzing something, that's not the noise you make.
Stay silent. Just once.
Or go. Let's see if the ball comes out. Let's see if he finishes the catch. By the way, Microsoft with the worst ads of all time. Microsoft does something during every game where they go. This one was Oakland, Kansas City, and we were trying to see if Blasey Blah scored a touchdown.
Oh yeah.
So the officials use these Microsoft laptops, and you're thinking. Yeah, all this sucks.
We hate when this happens.
Why are you bragging that you're what they use when it's something everyone hates?
Hey, if you want to know what company is responsible for that slowage of play that makes you sit there and hate this game, it's us. Look, we're part of it.
Proud sponsor of the endless delay.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I mean, not every Romo, he's not that good. Not everyone can be, you know, the best in the booth. By the way, the guy in the video was Max Lane.
Okay.
He was standing next to Zola.
Yep.
A boxing official?
No. The football player.
Yeah, he's former offensive lineman. He and Lane played together on those old Patriots.
Oh, teams. Max Lane.
Yes.
Here's a CBS Sports Minute with Boomer. Of course.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah. Well, so thanks, John.
You just tidbit of information.
You just earned your paycheck, baby.
Thank you, yes.
Here's a CBS Sports Minute. How could I have thought it was the most known Max
Mills,
Lane?
I think that's Mills Lane you're thinking of.
Oh, okay. Well, nonetheless.
The referee. The
Judge
referee.
Mills Lane?
I think, yeah.
The guy who had his own TV show?
Right. He was a boxing referee before that.
I can't believe I didn't know the name Max Lane.
That show was on before. Hot Bench. Where all the judges are hot, because it's a hot bench.
I see. Mm. Or instead of the Big Boo Brigade, hear ye, Jugs in Session. Here's a CBS Sports Minute with Boomer.
That's just called Here Come the Jugs.
Yeah, Here Come the Jugs.
That's a good line. That's the name of that show.
That's a really good line.
Rise.
All rise, here come the jugs.
It's TNR, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter, at Toucher and Rich.
He takes the snap. He play fakes Dwight. He looks down the middle. He fires, and the ball is caught in the back of the end zone by Danny.
It's a catch.
Amendola! Touchdown, Patriots!
It's a catch.
He made the grab just inside the end line, and New England is taking the lead.
I love Tom Brady. Man, Danny, playoff Amendola. So money on his try. Amendola elevates 1 foot.
What a catch.
2 foot.
Left foot toe tap.
Clutch.
Gronkowski!
It's amazing. 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. That Jacksonville defense was so fast. It was getting Brady. And Deion Lewis. You know how he can make people miss?
Yeah, they weren't missing.
They weren't missing.
No, they were excellent against
him. He was getting no yards after contact.
Yep.
And then in the fourth quarter, the Patriots had just worn him down. Or just Jacksonville did not have that speed. And it was evident, obviously, when Deion sealed the game with that first down run at the end of the game. But just that whole fourth quarter, they just couldn't keep up.
It was a perfect game plan on both sides of the ball going into it. And you're right. And I don't know what it is about teams. And you've seen this happen against the Patriots so many times where they look like they have a formidable opponent against them, and then something happens. They just tire out before them, and they can't go 60 minutes, and you have to play perfect football against this team.
Or they screw up, and they get a delay of game, even though Bortles is clapping his hands for 2 seconds while the center just sits there, and then they don't run the clock down to the two-minute warning. Not that that even would have mattered, because the Patriots took about 50 seconds to score on that drive. But, I mean, you know, they mismanaged the clock and let the Patriots back into the game at the end of the first quarter, end of the first half, and the Patriots don't make mistakes like that.
But, man, that is a good team. And after seeing that game yesterday, you got to give them all the respect in the world. And Blake Bortles has been impressive, too.
Now, are we over this whole their defense is overrated?
No.
Yes, we are over it.
They proved something to me yesterday. That was very, very impressive. And I do like, however, the adjustments that the Patriots defense made on Fournette, because in the first half when he was having his way, they did an excellent job holding him to, you know, just a couple yards per run.
And I don't blame Jacksonville for continuing to do that. I mean, that's...
Don't you think that Blake Bortles stopped being aggressive in the fourth quarter? He stopped taking chances. I know that it's almost like they took their foot off the gas. Because how many handoff plays did they have to Fournette when they knew that wasn't even working? How many times were they second and nine?
Second and nine, then you got to... What was happening is they were second and nine and they were running it up the middle again. But that whole offense is predicated on the run. So even if you're not moving the ball effectively, you still have to do it. Because it's all play action and it's all misdirection. And yeah, you need to hand the ball off. I mean, you can't get away from that. And what's odd is you would feel like a bruising back like Fournette would wear a defensive line down, and that didn't happen. The Patriots got stronger as the game went on.
It did, but there was somebody who was very excited after the game. We saw afterwards the trophy being presented, Drew Bledsoe up there, and Bill Belichick was handed the trophy and immediately just handed it to someone else. Like, I don't want this crap. It's for someone else. And handed it, I think, to Jonathan Kraft.
And then Jonathan Kraft didn't want it.
And he's like, I don't want this thing.
Yeah, so, you know, it's not the Super Bowl trophy.
But after the game, one of our favorites, Mr. RKK, he was wandering around the field, Mr. Robert Kraft, and was interviewed about, what do you think? You know, does this ever get old?
Does this ever get old? Do you ever not like it? Having a nice... grilled hot dog slice. You like it, right?
Wait, what?
Okay. I don't know. You ever not like a hot dog? Sliced hot dog?
What? Does this ever get old? Do you ever not like it? Having a nice hot grilled hot dog slice. You like it, right?
Yeah, you don't like those hot dogs kids are eating nowadays?
He drinks water
sliced
in that booth, in that box.
I don't know what that means. All I know is that I've had probably several thousand hot dogs in my life. I don't think I've ever had one sliced.
Sometimes they slice them. I just don't understand what he's saying, but it's only water in that booth from what I see.
I guess you never get sick of hot dogs?
Yeah, like he's saying that you ever get sick of hot dogs.
Yeah, I would get sick of hot dogs.
Dizzy from sitting on the high chair, you know?
No, he doesn't have the high chairs anymore. Come on.
He was dizzy from the Jove coming in. Jovi comes in for all the big games.
I would have been the same.
I guess so.
Scott Solak was in 7th Heaven. He was with his man Drew Bledsoe and the John Bon Jovi.
That was what was going on his head at the time, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
Go, Bill!
Yeah, when Jovi owned the Philadelphia Soul, I believe during their championship game, Belichick and Weiss were up in the box celebrating with the Jove.
Oh, really? With the Soul?
Yes, I remember that. Yeah, it's true.
The Philadelphia
Soul.
There's still that amazingly awkward moment when Bon Jovi was playing acoustic on stage and he invited Charlie Weiss and Bill Belichick to come up and they just kind of stood on the side stage.
Yeah. Dead or Alive they did?
Yeah, it was Dead or Alive, right?
There was a structural concern with Weiss. Hutch, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Steak and Egg.
What's up, man?
Hey. So two things. A, phenomenal game. Still definitely jacked up about it. But two, I actually think that Romo sounds more like a really... really bad Andrew Dice Clay impersonator when he's making those awful sounds.
Oh, like he's like, you know, let's see if he made that catch. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes. Someone's got to tell him to stop. Someone's got to tell him to stop with that.
And the
go ahead.
The only time I've ever loved Jim Nantz, like, sticking up, he's like, that's enough, Tony. He likes to put him in a corner.
Stop yeah, that.
That's enough, Tony. Yeah. Okay, stop doing that.
Later, guys.
Somebody said, hey, you know what tastes good with a nice sliced hot dog?
I always buy him lemonade.
A good lemonade with a sliced hot dog.
Yep.
So I call him Mr. Lemonade.
Mr. Lemonade.
Mr. Lemonade, yes.
Wasn't Mr. Lemonade inactive yesterday?
Yes, Mr. Lemonade was inactive
Mr.
yesterday.
Lemonade not very popular with the coaching staff right now.
It doesn't seem like it.
Maybe not so many lemonades coming his way this offseason.
I keep getting more videos of a city under hostage last night in Philadelphia. The best of there's, despite the polls being greased with Crisco, all you're doing then is just challenging them. Yeah. Then you're saying, all right, well, let's see what you got. And you basically have piles of people trying to climb up the poles, and then you'll get one guy who makes it halfway up, and someone will underneath them try to climb, and then, of course, they fall and essentially snap the neck of the person underneath
them. It's like a ladder match in the WWE.
It is, essentially.
That's what it is. All right, we will have the headlines.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Left for Dorsett, and he reaches up and he makes the leaping catch over Jack, landing inside the Jacksonville 25 of the Jaguar 23.
That's rabbit number two they pulled out of the hat. It resulted in a fumble on the previous. I don't know how many more they got left, but it gives you a chance down and tight in the red area. You got to capitalize. Great catch by Dorsett.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich.
Everyone knew we could count on Philip Dorsett yesterday.
Absolutely. 617-779-0985. Alex, go ahead. Alex.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Sorry, the phone broke up there. I just heard the play-by-play. First of all, how about, you know, what a game for Philip Dorsett to finally show up. Get something out of that trade, huh? Yeah, yeah. About time, the Jamoke. just to kind of piggyback off what Hutch said about Tony Dice Clay, instant replay is ruining the game of football.
Yes.
So on that 3rd and 18, when Amendola went to the ground, he caught the ball and he hit the ground. His hands clearly were under the ball. But Tony Romo's like, oh, I don't know. You know, let's take a look at that again, boys. And I'm like, honestly, if you catch the ball and you hit the ground, yeah, the ground's going to have a little bit of action on the ball. It's going to move the ball a little bit, but it's getting ridiculous at this point. So I think, you know, the league's got to take a look, and it's overlooked at this point. It's kind of become an accepted fact of the game, which I think is ridiculous.
No, yeah, that was a clean catch. It was obvious, and they went to replay, and it feels like Romo has to sell every replay. Like, if his hands are under the ball, and the only play that was interesting was the Deion Lewis fumble. That was an interesting replay.
But
these ones that are catches, it is destroying
the
NFL.
Romo's working for the home team for the first time. I mean, I'd like to see, if Romo makes it, I'd like to see how he is in 5 years and whether or not he's calmed down a little bit. I think this is his first year working for a network that's working for the NFL. He wants to make sure he sells every last possible tidbit of the game. And I think maybe if he keeps going and he's still doing this in 5 years and not something else, he'll probably have calmed down.
Well, I would hope so, because replays,
he's got nowhere to go but down.
Because replays are a pain in the ass. You can tell even Jim Nance, who I don't like, you can tell he's exasperated every time that they have to go to one, because it just slows down the momentum of everything. And then you have Captain Weiner sitting there wondering what's next. Pete, go ahead.
Hey, you know the thing that everyone's talking about with the ref smiling after that Amendola touchdown?
Yeah,
but it was actually the James White touchdown. I had that wrong. There's a video clip, if you don't know what he's talking about, that people are bitching about this morning, that has the referees right around a scrum patting one of the Patriots players in the back and laughing. It was after a touchdown, and it's the James White one. So what is your theory? What do you think?
Well, I think it was all just after the breakup. They were talking back and forth. He was just, yeah, just moving along. Yeah, keep going, guys.
Yeah, it was like, all right, guys, calm down. Because there was like a little bit of a pushing and shoving. And again, there's, all right, calm down. I had no problem with that. The only one that's a bad look, there's really nothing to it, but it's a bad look, is that I think it was Cleet Blakeman. It might have been one of the other officials. But as soon as the game was over, he's the first one to go up and congratulate Tom Brady. Like, is it a big deal? No. Is it something you probably shouldn't do as a referee? Yes. And of course, everyone's bitching about it this morning.
Yeah.
Just something that
the Patriots didn't win all the time. That is a very bad look for a ref.
Because now everyone's like, oh, they're
pat him on the shoulder pad and go, congratulations.
Yeah, it's, you shouldn't have done it. It was stupid. So speaking of something else you shouldn't have done, it was very stupid. So WCVB in town, the ABC affiliate, had an unfortunate incident on their website. They posted an article that said New England wins the AFC Championship defeating Jacksonville. And the picture that they put up was from a previous Jacksonville Patriots game. But unfortunately, the person they put on there is numbered 81 for the Patriots.
Oh, boy.
Mr. Hernandez.
Okay. They threw Aaron Hernandez on there. And, of course, people immediately went, hey, Aaron Hernandez not on the Patriots anymore. As a matter of fact, he's kind of had a different route in life. Well, in death, actually.
Yeah, and he happens to be dead.
And so they had to release a statement saying a news service that provides WCVB some digital content accidentally posted a picture of Aaron Hernandez in connection with the Patriots AFC Championship on our social media. It's embarrassing and unacceptable. We apologize and are working with the team to correct so something like this never happens again.
All right. Randy has a quick theory on Kraft and hot dogs. Okay. Go ahead.
Yes. Good morning, gentlemen. Steak and eggs, boys.
Yes.
Yay. Okay. So two quick things. One, I think maybe Kraft is referencing the sliced hot dog as Jacksonville coming in as a bunch of hot dogs and we sliced them right down the middle, baby. We ate those guys up like no problem towards the end there. The other thing I want your comments on, do you think the hit to the helmet with Gronkowski was potentially intentional, trying to take him out of the game?
I don't think it was intentional.
No.
I think it was obviously a bad play, but to call it dirty, that's borderline.
No,
you have to take him out. It's a helmet to helmet. It's just that's the problem with Rob Gronkowski. He's so massive that if you went down low, obviously that would be illegal. If you hit him in the middle, he's not going to fall down. So he led with the shoulder. And it even kind of looked like, I had to watch it a couple times, and I've kind of backed off on how dirty I thought the play was. It's a bad hit. I don't believe it was dirty.
Barry
he even
Church
went
said,
in with his shoulder.
I mean, Barry Church said afterwards, if I go for him low and take his knees out, I'm a dirty player. I can't, you know, I have to go high. So he did, and it looked Gronk might have moved his head down a little bit as he was going for the ball and didn't get it, or had it and was bringing it in, and then Church hit him in the side
and
of the
Church
head.
Church was doing one of those tackles where he was like, I'm just going to hit the hell out of him, because it wasn't even one of those where you wrap up.
I think he was aiming for the chest,
yeah.
You know, right below the neck to knock him out.
Here's Church. This is what he had to say after the game for the hit on Gronk.
Toughest play in football. I mean, if you go low at the knees, you're considered a dirty player.
Yeah.
If you go high, I mean, they throw the flag on. So, I mean, it's a bang-bang play. I mean, people are coming at each other 100 miles an hour. So, just try to play football, try to lead with my shoulder. I guess, I don't know. You know, I got to watch the tape and see what happened.
Yeah, I thought it was dirty at first, and the more I watched it, the more I realized that it's a bad hit and probably should try to be avoided, but I don't think it was. The intention wasn't to go helmet to helmet on.
No, but you have to call it because it was such a severe hit to the head.
Without a doubt. Yeah, you have to call that. The letter of the rule, you have to call that.
And I got an email screaming at me about how Rappaport went into the locker room and said that Gronk seemed okay, to which I, again, say you have no idea. You don't know how bad that concussion's going to
be. Well, you know what he says? I mean, Ian Rappaport might have talked to the doctors, might have talked to him. Might have talked to the Patriots medical people.
It might have been. Patriots medical people might have said to him, he's much better tonight than he was during the game. But that has no bearing on how he feels this morning or the day after this.
Indeed.
Concussion. That's the way concussions work.
Well, the way it was reported is that they're optimistic that he'll be able to play for the Super Bowl.
I don't doubt that he'll play in the Super Bowl, but I just think it's... I found the reporting odd. To say that, oh yeah, he looks good. What do you you don't know anything about how this is going to be effective, and I think he's going to play in the Super Bowl too. I think 2 weeks off he'll play. At a certain point, if I'm Gronkowski, I don't know how much I want to play. I mean, Gronkowski's got a long life of many, many opportunities, and I don't with all those back problems. I don't know how long I want to play. I've said this for a long time. If I'm Gronkowski, I don't know how much longer I want to play football. Does anyone else agree with me? I mean, you're with his back problems and his injury history, you're risking a very, very life.
In theory, I think you're right. I mean, his brand is to the point now where he transcends football and people outside of football know who he is. But you know, regardless of the injuries, I mean, great players like that always want to play, regardless of how banged up they are. You think it was Joe Montana's dream to go to Kansas City to get knocked around?
So much anymore. Players are taking it to heart a lot more. Greatest running back of all time, Mr. Man by name Barry Sanders, called it quits after 9 years.
He's the exception rather than the rule.
Yeah, but players are now retiring. Players are now retiring at 23, 24.
I get it. I get it. You saw a bunch of San Francisco 49ers do that all in one summer.
But peer pressure.
But in the end, I think Gronk plays until physically he can't. That's what I think.
I would, if I was Gronkowski and I was someone, not, you know, next year, I would just be like, how long do you really want to do this until, you know, how do you want your post-football life to be? But then again, he goes into TB12, so what could happen?
There you go.
He takes that concussion sauce. It works like a charm. All right, we will return. We got Boomer Esiason at 8 o'clock, and we do confront him for his Patriot-hating comments that he made in the at halftime.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We had a contest on Friday, Worse Than Brady, in which we tried to find people that were pretty much polar opposites, their lifestyle as compared to Tom Brady's. TB12 method. Why can't you enjoy your life? Why do the TB12 stuff? It sounds miserable. What does that get you? Enjoy your life. And so the man who won, Fat Tony, I'll just let you know this. And I had more people. That bit went over pretty well. I had more people come up to me and just say 185 over 101.
That was his blood pressure. Yeah, which if you don't know, it's really bad.
Well, that 200, you are. If you go to the doctor's office and they read that you have a 200, you're... upper number is 200, they take you to emergency room.
Yeah, you're being hospitalized.
Because that's like a heart attack.
So Fat Tony came in studio. Fat Tony, the guy who had the Masshole 2000 automobile he was driving around, which basically was filled with empty cigarette cartons, scratch tickets, fast food wrappers. I mean, just absolutely everywhere. And I was worried about him because even if you're a normal, healthy human being, that game at the end was enough to give you a potential heart attack. But if you're Fat Tony with the type of blood pressure that he has, I can only imagine. So,
and plus, a listener speculated, how was he going to get up if they were in the 300 seats? Yeah, right. Was Tony going to be able to make it up there? Fat Tony, hello.
Hello.
All right. How was the game?
Oh, it was crazy.
Now, was there a... what time did you get to the stadium?
I don't know, about 11?
All right, so 11 for a 3 o'clock game. What did you consume before the game?
About a sleeve and a half of Fireball.
Sleeve is 10, by the way.
Okay.
You know, some steak. Me and my buddy cooked up some steak on a little hibachi.
Yeah?
Yeah, some chips. Lots of chips.
Did you have anything green at all yesterday, Tony? Fat Tony? No, you did not. Okay, all right.
I don't think so.
Okay.
You don't think so?
Can you tell me what was the feeling? Were you nervous at all about your health or your heart during that fourth quarter when the Patriots came roaring back?
I think I had about 3 heart attacks during the game.
All right. A little shortness of breath.
Do you recall every moment of that game?
No, maybe about the first half.
Yeah.
I got a picture from his buddy who said, just want to let everyone know that I got Fat Tony home alive. Your buddy Scott tweeted me a photo, and then as you passed out on a couch.
So is the second half kind of a blur, Fat Tony?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Were you able to get in some fireballs into the game?
Yeah, just about 4 or 5.
Okay.
How do you get them in? Because you got to bring those, like, clear baggies now to get into the game.
No, you shove them in your pockets.
Well, I mean, but they check you. They're pretty, the security's pretty tight.
Do they pat you down?
Yeah, you wear long socks.
Okay. And you put them in your socks.
And then you put them in your socks. All right.
So
right.
I kind of figured.
All right. Well, Fat Tony, did you have a good time?
I had a great time.
All right. I made a video on Instagram in honor of you where I did a fireball nip. So that was in honor of you.
Thank you. Was it wonderful?
It was so great. It was so delicious.
We're glad you're okay, Fat Tony.
All right, thank you.
All right, thanks. All right,
we'll get up around 10 a.m., eat a bowl of pasta.
That is not Fat Tony. That's the other. That's Hurley from Law.
Pasta.
Yeah. It was in yesterday.
That was
Monday.
He had died, voted for him. Jeez. It was the line.
That's right.
It's the line of the century.
Uh-huh.
All right. We got Boomer Esiason coming up. Let's go to Donnie. Donnie, go ahead.
Hey, guys, do you think Fat Tony had any of those sliced hot dogs?
Listen, Robert Kraft seems to like
them. You don't get sick of them, I know.
Again,
that.
Robert Kraft, drinking water in that booth.
Do you ever not like having a nice hot hot grilled hot dog slice. You like it, right?
I wonder if he was saying that to a fat guy.
Hey, a little Beatles in the background? Huh?
Listen, he drinks...
I want to hold your hand?
All I know is he drinks water in that box.
Speaking of Beatle, real quick, did you hear Beatle Bertrand is on the official Tom Brady versus Time commercial that they ran during the game yesterday?
No.
No, yeah, I didn't see that. I was too blown away by the extreme douchiness of it. Donnie, go ahead.
Hey, man. Hey, if Tom Brady wins one more Super Bowl, do you think he might come out and just say, you know, I've done enough, I won 2 Super Bowls in a row, and I'm just done, I'm going to retire? Do you think that might happen?
No, because because the whole thing now is transcends football. The whole thing now is to build this TB12 brand, and he really believes that he has this secret to... It's anti-aging.
His success is his biggest sales tool for TB12.
Right. And then it's because it's not just, hey, you can play football for a long time. He believes he can stop the process of aging. I mean, he has convinced himself of this. So, yeah, he absolutely continues to play. And I think that the TB12 ensures that.
Now, there is part of me that thinks that there is a 10 to 15% chance that maybe Bill Belichick would retire. Because the rest of his coaching staff is gone.
Didn't Kraft...
You've got the offensive coordinator, you got the defensive coordinator, and it looks like the linebackers coach might end up going to Arizona.
He's got another interview with him this week.
So do you think that if there's any time for him to go, you know what?
Well, Kraft even said something when they asked about the three of them staying together. He said, like, everyone's got to check their egos.
I might have that, yeah.
It was something that wasn't, like, just a glossy...
It wasn't, yes.
...throwaway statement, you know? So I do think that there... If someone was going to leave, obviously it's not Kraft, obviously it's not Brady. If someone was going to leave and you put a gun to my head, I would say Belichick. I don't think he will.
I don't either, but I think there's a 10 to 15% chance.
That's fair enough.
That it would happen.
That's fair enough. All right. We talked to the boom man. We addressed the elephant in the room, his comments about Gillette Stadium and officiating.